Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
You're listening to The Morning Mayhem. My name is Chad Thomas. I now get to chat to a very, very, very well-known South African human rights attorney, none other than Richard Spoor. And our topic today is, can two different courts come to different conclusions about similar, if not the same, matter? Richard, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Richard, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, are we talking today about the former president and what may happen in respect of a petition being heard at the courts in Bloemfontein in respect of leave now being granted for appeal? Can you just fill us in there, us laymen, let us know what's going to be happening?
Yeah, in a nutshell, following the Commissioner of Prisoners or Prisons Arthur Fraser's decision to release former President Zuma on medical parole, that decision was challenged by the DA and other interest groups. And the High Court ruled that the grant of medical parole was unlawful. They set that decision aside, and they said that the former president should be reincarcerated, and also that the period he'd been out on medical parole should not count as service towards his sentence out of the 15 months that he was sentenced by the Constitutional Court. That decision has been taken on appeal. First, there was an application for permission to appeal, so the application for leave to appeal, and that was granted by the High Court, the same High Court that had earlier set the medical parole decision aside. And now the matter will go to the Superior Court, to Bloemfontein, for a decision whether or not the decision to grant medical parole was lawful or not. And that will take several months, I expect. So I imagine sometime in the first or second quarter next year, we'll have a decision from the Supreme Court of Appeal.
And the Supreme Court of Appeal, if they disagree, is it automatically that one can go to Constitutional Court, or again, is it a further petition and a further lapse in time?
Again, you need to apply for leave to appeal to the Constitutional Court, and the court has a discretion whether to grant it or not. But I think it's preempting things to assume that it'll go that far. There is, with respect, some merit in the appeal. I think there are aspects from the original decision setting aside the medical parole that are controversial, and there's a reasonable chance that that decision be set aside, and in fact, Jacob Zuma never goes back to prison.
Judging by what we experienced in July of this year, in the midst of a pandemic, having that civil unrest, do the courts weigh this up? Does it become a part of their considerations, or do they simply stick to the facts of the case?
No, that cannot be a consideration for the courts to take into account. They have to just stick to the facts and deal with it on the merits. And this makes the intervention by, well, the proposed intervention by the Natal region of the ANC a little unusual. They seem to imagine that kind of political pressure is going to influence the decisions of the court. But no, that won't carry any weight. The appeal, though, has some merit, and I think there are at least two aspects that are worthwhile taking into account. Although the Act says that you may only be released on medical parole if you've got a terminal disease or you're incapable of looking after your own basic needs, like getting dressed and eating and washing yourself, and it's clear that Jacob Zuma didn't meet that standard. There is, however, another section in the Act which allows the commissioner, in the instance of people who are serving less than 2 years or less, to release them on medical parole. And Arthur Fraser relies on that. And while the judge in the High Court interpreted the law to mean that the requirements for of a terminal illness or an inability to care for yourself were not met, it's not entirely clear that Arthur Fraser didn't enjoy that discretion under 17, under the alternative section 79. There is also, I think, one other aspect of the judgment that is controversial and is quite important, is the decision of the judge to say that the period that Jacob Zuma was out of medical parole doesn't count towards his sentence. that is also based on an interpretation of the law, but there are equally plausible interpretations, namely to say that, look, it's not Jacob Zuma's fault that he was released on medical parole. It's somebody else's decision. And there is an argument to be made that you can interpret that the law should have been interpreted in a way that's favorable to the individual rights of Jacob Zuma. And I think there's a good chance that that decision be turned around. If that decision is turned around, it means effectively that Jacob Zuma will not go back to prison because he's now eligible for parole. In fact, his entire sentence might have expired by the time that this matter gets to the SCA or the High Court. So it seems to me that it's very unlikely that Jacob Zuma, I think it's unlikely that Jacob Zuma will ever go back to prison.
So historically, we've had other instances of medical parole that have been granted under controversial circumstances. The most famous, of course, being Shabir Sheikh, and then the issue regarding the late Commissioner of Police, Jackie Salebi. Jackie Salebi was, in fact, terminal, in my understanding, and did, in fact, qualify, whereas Shabir Sheikh, we still see him on the golf course. Is this what's causing the frustration, that people are seeing that there may have been an abuse of the system previously, and perhaps it's continuing on?
Well, there was an abuse of the system, and it's for that reason that the law was amended to make it more stringent and more difficult to get medical parole and to require that decision to be taken by a medical parole board, who in this instance decided by a majority vote that Jacob Zuma didn't meet the criteria. But for people serving less than 2 years, the commissioner has a discretion, and arguably he's entitled to exercise that discretion. But that is also open to abuse. There is always scope for abuse. And in this particular instance, the law has also been, the amendments to the law were drafted very poorly and left ambiguity about precisely what the discretion of the commissioner is and how far it extends. The High Court took a very conservative view on the interpretation and said that these two requirements that the medical parole board had to consider were also required by the commissioner when he exercised his discretion. But that, as I indicated, is arguable. I think there are perfectly reasonable interpretations to say that the commissioner can exercise his discretion and say we shouldn't keep this guy any longer. I think it's worth noting that what informed Fraser, the commissioner's decision, was a kind of a general sense that the former president is 79 years old. He suffers from a number of comorbidities. People of that age are at risk of dying, and it's clear that they were very concerned that he might die while he was in prison and wanted to do everything possible to avoid that possibility. And I think the judge alluded to that yesterday when he said, look, you know, Zuma is worthy of some kind of compassion and consideration. And it is true that if he goes back to prison, there is a possibility that, like other people his age with comorbidities, that he might die. And I think there's a lot of concern that that does not happen.
Well, Richard Spoor, I really appreciate you applying your legal mind, giving us a clear insight as laymen, using terms that we could understand as to this very, very important aspect of medical parole. I look forward to chatting to you again in the new year.
Thank you.
Richard Spoor is a South African human rights attorney.